Good to see everyone here this morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here and would like to invite you to come back and worship with us any opportunity that you may have. This evening, Bob will be beginning a series of lessons on Bible authority. How can we know that what we are doing is approved of by God? How can we understand and apply Bible authority? And he'll be beginning a three-series lesson this evening. He'll preach on the first series this evening, and then next Sunday morning will be the second part, and then next Sunday evening will be the third lesson in this three-lesson series on Bible authority. And I'm really looking forward to that study. I believe it'll be very helpful and practical and informative. And if you can come back and join in on those studies, please make an effort to do that. This morning, I want to talk about keeping ourselves pure. Keep yourself pure. And I want especially this morning to address this lesson to the younger people. And the reason I say that is that the younger people here have either very recently or in the near future are going to make a big change in their lives. They're going to go from a place, high school, where they know all their friends, they know everybody, and they come and in general, if you go to the Bible school, it's not that hard to find some good moral friends around you at the Bible school. Now, I understand there are a few bad apples there, but if you look hard, you can find some good friends. And it's not hard to surround yourself with moral people who have a concern for what's right and who have a similar background as you. And you can surround yourselves with moral friends, and it's a little easier to keep yourself pure. But as you leave high school and go on to college or to the workplace, whichever one you choose, as you leave high school and go into this, you're around a totally different group of people. No longer are they the same friends you've known all your life. Not so. Totally different group of people. And you're a stranger in a strange land. A stranger in a strange land. And the people you meet, so many of the people you meet are going to be immoral. They're going to be promiscuous. They're going to be drunkards. They're going to have foul mouths and say things constantly that you've probably only heard a few times in your life. And that'll just be a part of their everyday speech. There'll be very few people who have any concern whatever for those things which are good and moral and right. And you're gonna be surrounded by these people. And what we need to do is to pick out good friends among these people. And we need to watch ourselves and keep ourselves pure. Now, I don't want you older ones to relax. While I'm addressing this particularly to the younger people, I believe it applies to everyone. Because we older ones are in the workplace every day. And we're around these people, only we're used to it. And we need to still apply these principles and keep ourselves pure. But the younger people especially are about to make this big change when they're going to be around people whom they've not been around before and people who have very little concern for those things which are right. Now, the reason that I think a lesson like this is needed, especially in our day and age, the reason I believe it is needed is that sinners have a way of making sin look so wonderful. You'll meet these people, you'll meet all these new people when you go to college or to work, and they'll tell you about all this partying they've done over the weekend, and man, they make it sound good. Boy, we just had the best time. Oh, it was great. And if you'd come and party with us just one time, you'd have the time of your life. Man, you'd have so much fun and you'd want to be with us forever. And we'd just be like brothers and it'd just be great. They have a way of making sin look good. Look over at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The idea here is that man, she can flatter you. The immoral woman, the adulteress, she can make you feel like you are the greatest thing on earth. She can make you feel handsome. She can make you feel loved, respected. She can make you feel just great. And oh, just one night with her would be the greatest thing on earth. Her lips drip with honey. She is a sweet talker. Says all the right things. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Smooth. Smooth. Says all the right things. Makes you feel great. Like there's something really important between you two. Notice verses 4 and 5. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Don't do it. Don't give in. She'll sweet talk and make things sound great. But don't give in. Her steps lay hold of hell. That's what'll happen if you give in. Hell is waiting on you. Don't give in. Another passage along these lines. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 31. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. You've seen the alcohol commercials, the beer, and they have all these people on the beach, and man, they're having a grand old time. Beautiful women, and man, just having the time of their lives. And all you have to do is drink this brand of beer, and you'll be the coolest person on earth. And some of them, they'll show a picture of just cold beer, and it's the water's trickling down the side. They pour it into a frosty mug, and it rises up, and man, they try to make it look good. Oh, it looks so good. Wouldn't that be just great to drink some of that? That's how they try to make it look. And the idea they're trying to get across is drink our brand of beer, and you'll be great. But look at verse 32. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. It bites like a serpent. If you give in, you'll get bitten. You'll tear your family apart. Your life will be shambles. It will be a wreck. And in the end, if you don't repent, your soul will suffer eternally. In the end, it bites like a serpent. Stay away from it. Leave it alone. There is no good at all in it. Leave it alone. Still in Proverbs, another passage along these lines. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. The idea is people are going to come to you and they're going to say, come take part of us. We've got this plan. We've got this thing planned. And man, we'll get all kinds of good from it. We can get all kinds of possessions or all kinds of goods going to come from what we're about to do. And it's evil. When sinners entice you, the idea is they're enticing you. They're making it sound good. They're trying to persuade you. Take part in it. Have fun. Man, we'll be like brothers. Cast your lot in among us. We'll have one purse. We'll be just like brothers. And things will be great. We'll have a friendship that'll never be broken. And all the possessions we could ever want. It'll be great. Do not consent. Do not consent. Their feet run to evil. Stay away from it. And one more passage from Proverbs. Over in chapter 7. Rather lengthy reading here. Proverbs chapter 7. But follow along with me. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home on the appointed time, on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would take his life. A young man, innocent and ignorant, and an adulteress, a seductress, a harlot, traps him. And with her enticing speech, he gives in. He gives in. And in the end, he didn't know it would take his life, but that's what it did. It took his life. And it will do the same to you. It will take your life. And it applies to both genders. Don't misunderstand. It applies to both genders. You ladies, those men out there, they will say and do whatever it takes to have their way with you. They'll say what, they'll sweet talk and smooth talk, and you're the most beautiful woman or beautiful lady he's ever met. And he'll say all the right things, but in the end, it'll take your life. It'll take your life. So keep yourselves pure. I want to write it down so that when you're tempted, you can look and you'll see in big black letters this right here. Keep yourself pure. When you're tempted, remember that. Keep yourself pure. And I don't want to just leave it at that. I want to give a couple of suggestions as to how we can do this. Because if I just stand up here and say, keep yourself pure, you already knew that. I haven't done a lot of good. Keep yourselves pure. Here's some suggestions as to how we can keep ourselves pure. The first one, keep good company. Keep good company. It's that simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. We've all heard this one read several times, but somehow we just seem to overlook it or to think it doesn't apply. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's that simple. It's that simple. The idea is you should not so associate with unbelievers so that people esteem you to belong with them. Did you get that? Let me say that again. This is, you should not so associate with them as to be esteemed to belong to them. Do not associate with them so that when people see you with them in the context that you're with them, that they think you belong to them, that you're a part of them. Don't do that. Do not do that. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not create wicked or create intimate relationships with wicked people. Do not do it. Reserve your intimate relationships for brethren, for people of a like precious faith as yours. Do not have intimate relationships with unbelievers if you can avoid it. Do not do it. Do not do it. The dangers are so great. The dangers are so great. Ephesians 5, verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them." Do not have fellowship with them. Do not do it. How can we get around that? We can't. Do not do it. And try to escape this command. I did. As I was growing up, I tried everything I knew to escape this. My mom would find out I was going out with a particular person and she would say, "No, you don't need to be hanging around that kind of person." I'd say, "Oh, but Mom, I'll go with them and I won't drink or I won't take part in what they're doing. I won't do it. No, I won't do it." And for a while that worked. And then after a while, I see that was rubbing thin with Mom. So I'd say, "Okay, let me go with them and I can be a good influence. I'll go to this party and people will be there drinking and they'll be there having a good time. All that goes with a wild party. And I'll be there and they'll see that I'm not doing anything. And then I can be a good influence." Isn't that right? Doesn't that make so much sense? No. It's foolishness. It's rubbish. People will see you at that party and they're not going to ask, "Are you drinking?" They're going to automatically assume that you're doing whatever's going on at that party. They're not going to think, "Well, I think he might be a good person. He's just there among bad people." No, they're going to assume you're guilty. Do not do it. Keep good company at all costs. Keep good company. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to turn here and I want you to read this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And I want you to read this with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that? There the Bible says it. Do you believe that? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's that simple. Do you believe it? Now, if you don't believe it, you don't believe the Bible. But if you believe it, then obey it. Because if you don't obey it, your good habits will be corrupted. Keep good company. Do you believe what the Bible says? Then keep good company. Finally, another suggestion as to how we can keep ourselves pure. Meditate on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Don't think, "Well, I'll just stay away from those things and just stay in a lull, just somewhere in between good and evil. Not really evil, not really impure, somewhere in between." You can't do that. You'll fall. You'll fall. Meditate on God's Word. Replace the desire to do evil with a desire to know and obey God's Word. Look at Psalm 1. The first psalm. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." replace the desire to do evil or the temptation to do evil. Replace those evil thoughts with God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Blessed is the man who meditates on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. One more passage and then we'll conclude here. Matthew chapter 15. This fits right in with this. This idea of meditating on God's Word. Matthew chapter 15. The first 14 verses, Jesus is in confrontation with the Pharisees here. And the point He's been making to these Pharisees in Matthew 15 is, you uphold the traditions of men above the commandments of God. And you ought not do that. You ought to think about the commandments of God. And you ought to obey them. Notice verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile a man. The idea is, if you put evil in your mind, if you put evil in, and evil's in your heart, you're going to get evil out. On the other hand, if you meditate on God's Word, keep God's Word on your mind and in your heart, good things will come out. Pure things, pure actions. Meditate on God's Word. Do not put evil in so that evil comes out. Conclusion. I want to read one verse. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. How can we do this? Keep good company. Meditate on God's Word. And then you can keep yourself pure. My prayer for this lesson is that it's not too late. I pray that I haven't preached this and there are some who have already become impure. And who maybe are very far gone. I pray that's not the case. And I don't believe it is the case. I preach this as a preventive measure. Keep yourself pure. There may be those here today who are children of God and have fallen away, have become impure. The opportunity is now. You have the opportunity to repent. If you've done so in a public manner, you can come forward and straighten that out publicly. On the other hand, if you're not a child of God, if you've never been baptized, if you've never become a member of Christ's body, one for sure way to keep yourself pure is to make a commitment to God that you're going to obey Him. And then, ever forth, strive to keep that commitment and you'll be pure. If you're not a member of the Lord's family, won't you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Believe the gospel. Come forward, confess that you believe He is the Son of God. Be baptized into His body and arise and walk in newness of life, living faithfully from that point on. If you need to respond to the gospel, come forward while we stand and sing.